You still get to hear me preach, sorry. Deacon Nathan got in last night about 10 o'clock from an ordination in Davenport, a classmate of his, and there was just enough going on that we thought just celebrating Mass the first time would probably be enough for him, so we welcome you, we're glad you're here. But it doesn't stop me from using your story a little bit. I know a little about Deacon Nathan, Father, I said Deacon, see, look at that. Father Nathan's story of how he got to the seminary. So today we're talking about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, so I'm just going to put this together a bit. So Father Nathan, after high school, went out to South Dakota, to Rapid City, School of Mines, right? Mm-hmm. He was going to go to school out there. Was there like one night? Not even one night. One night. And just had this sense like it wasn't right. And he called his dad, and thank God his dad is he's a permanent deacon, just a real man of the Holy Spirit, a man of God, who helped talk through and listen to what was going on in his heart. He's like, this isn't where God wants you. He talked with him, came home, and shortly thereafter signed up to the seminary. I'm not telling the whole story. Cut it down to the shortness. Because the point I want to make is this. What if Father Nathan had not listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking that day? And instead had just said, well, I don't know what's going on. I'm not feeling quite comfortable, but I better just keep, you know, muscling through this. We wouldn't have Father Nathan here today. Today we're celebrating Pentecost. It is the third greatest feast day of the church beside Christmas and Easter, Pentecost. Why? Because today Jesus Christ and God the Father from heaven sent God down into under earth. God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is truly God. You know, we focus so much on Jesus, which rightly so we should. But sometimes we forget that the Holy Spirit is God also. He's the third person of God, the Trinity. The Holy Spirit was sent into the church so that we could listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then we are following what God wants for our lives. We become literally moved by God. God is acting in the world today through you and through me. We are literally God acting in the world when we let ourselves be guided by the Holy Spirit. So it takes discernment to know, when am I hearing the voice of God and when am I hearing a different voice in my life? Take a look at the apostles in the upper room today. The first reading, the Acts of the Apostles. They're there with Mary. They're praying together in the upper room. And it's a beautiful prayer, right? It's something very powerful, praying together. But I want you to notice what they're not doing. They're not acting. They're not doing something with their faith at this point. They're waiting for the Lord, praying and not doing anything. Okay, prayer is something, but you get what I'm talking about. Then what happens? The Holy Spirit comes down in fire. The Holy Spirit is fire and he is peace today. The Holy Spirit came on the apostles in fire. And filled with the Holy Spirit, they start acting. They go out and they start preaching the power of the gospel. And people respond. Why? Because it's not just them speaking. Because God is actually the one speaking in them. God is the one that's acting in them. And so it's fruitful, it's life-giving, it's powerful. The Holy Spirit is fire, but he's also peace. In our gospel, we have a little different take. Jesus appears the night of the resurrection and says, peace be with you. And breathes on them the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can act in very powerful ways, but he will also always act with a sense of peace. All right? This helps us to discern, where's the voice of God coming? Because I think one of the greatest fears we have as a church, and I'm just speaking for myself, but I think you share this with me, is that the world is falling away from God. And it often feels like the church is dying. And this is so difficult for us. And we see our own kids as they grow up and go off to college fall away. And we think, well, there's really nothing we can do about it. And there's really a sense of despair in that. I guess there's nothing we can do. It's just the way it's going to go. But I want to point out to you that that is not the voice of God. That despair, that feeling of hopelessness, of nothing I can do, does not acknowledge that God is who God is. And he is real and he is active and he is working in the world today. That the Holy Spirit is alive and has been poured out on the church. And that is you and me. With a power that when we act, the church thrives. It doesn't die. And so to be listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit is so powerful and necessary for us. He works in powerful and fire and in peace. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are many. The Lord works in the Holy Spirit in many different ways. We see the apostles with the charismatic gifts, we call them. And they're still alive and real. They preach in tongues. They're healing. They preach the gospel. People convert. Just powerful things happening, right? Then there's also the normal, just natural talents and gifts that God has given you that in the power of the Holy Spirit calls you to use for God and for his church. I want you to just imagine for a moment. Imagine what our church would look like if every one of you sitting here today, plus all of those not sitting here today, if every one of you were taking the gifts and the talent that God has given you and you put them into action in the church. And that church doesn't just mean in this building. That also means in your lives, in your families, at your workplace. But they were put into action in the world, in the church. And it'd be amazing, you guys. The church would be anything but dead. Those who have gifts of construction and tools, those who have gifts of farming, those who have gifts of management and business, those who have gifts of marketing, those who have gifts of taking care of children, those who have gifts to be able to teach, gifts of being able to speak in front of people, those who have the gifts of prayer, those who have the gifts of just being that follower, that supportive person, those with people gifts that can reach out to others, those who are more introverted and allow that just security, that every one of those gifts, whatever they are, whatever yours are, that they are put at the service of the church. This place would be active. Every single day of the week, there'd be stuff going on. People desiring their faith would be moved to say, I want to join that Bible study. I want to start something, Father. I feel moved to say, like, we need to look into this, Father, in some way. That's what I want you to be thinking about today. Now, I shared a couple weeks ago the Holy Spirit, how he acts in the church in general, giving us church teaching through the bishops, right? They're like the guardrails on the sides of the road that keep us on the road, right? They help us discern knowing what's right when we're on the road, when we're off. But tonight, I want to talk more about personally you. How do you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? And I want to simply tell two parts in the rest of my homily today from St. Ignatius Loyola. He gave this teaching on discernment of spirits. Because here's the thing. My job as the pastor, as the priest, is actually not to make things happen in church here. That's God's job. I can't save the church. As much as you like me or not, and you think I'm good or what, it's actually the Holy Spirit who makes things happen. My job is actually to listen. Where is the Holy Spirit present in our people, in our church right now? And to go there and encourage that ministry, encourage that thing to grow and to flourish. It's actually you responding to the Holy Spirit that makes our church come alive. Number one, St. Ignatius says the first rule is to understand how the Holy Spirit speaks. Depends on if I'm walking towards God or if I'm walking away from God in my life. Where are you at right now? If I'm walking away from God, that means I'm in sin. I'm not trying to get closer to him. And I'm not really doing anything about it. I'm going from this sin to that sin and not really getting out of it at all. In that place, we always think of like, well, God gives you peace. Actually, not always. In that place, God does not give you peace. Because you're walking the wrong path. That person, the Holy Spirit acts in them, St. Ignatius says, actually to agitate them and convict their conscience that something's not right. And there's a sense of feeling like dissatisfied. But the other spirit, the spirit of the enemy, Satan, is also speaking to you. He said, and actually, in that person, he is trying to give you this false sense of peace. It won't be a peace that really satisfies, but it's a false peace, he says. Basically, what that means is I rationalize what I'm doing, right? Satan speaks to us and says, everybody in the world does this today. Just because, you know, the church is just too strict. That's in the Bible. Yeah, but, you know, the Bible's old. And we rationalize what we're doing. I'm not as bad as that guy. Like, I'm doing pretty good, you know? We compare ourselves. This is not the voice of God. Let me try to give an example. And it's just a common example. We could pick many. But one common example today, a boyfriend and a girlfriend fall in love. It's a beautiful thing. God wants to bless that relationship. He wants that marriage and that family that they will have one day to flourish, to be a beautiful experience of God's love in their life, okay? But what does Satan want? He wants to take that person away, those people away from God. He's not necessarily going to destroy the relationship, but he wants to destroy the relationship with God. That's the point here today. And so when that thought comes into the boyfriend and girlfriend's life, as they're growing, falling in love together, of what about doing that thing that we know is a sin and we shouldn't do? And there's a real attraction there. I mean, let's be honest. These are pleasurable things that move our hearts, and every one of us are human. We've all experienced these things, right? And the voice of Satan gives that rationalizing. It's okay. This is normal. In fact, it feels good. It gives me a lot of peace, a lot of joy. But what's the Holy Spirit doing there? The Holy Spirit's also acting. He's saying, no, 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 that peace and that joy aren't of God. It's actually not going to fulfill you. There's a nagging that's there in our conscience. That's the voice of God trying to convict our hearts in that moment. What happens? We have to follow where this leads. When a couple begins to do this, to live together, to go in that direction, generally, not in every case, generally what happens is they fall away from the church and they fall away from God in their life, which is the fruit that shows you which voice is speaking. This is not the voice of God. The Holy Spirit wants this relationship to flourish with the life of God between this husband and wife for their lives. Walking away from God. What about when we're walking towards God? Wait, one more thing I want to say about that, actually. Another example that's, I think, really common. And that is when people have been Catholic for a long time. Sometimes we just get comfortable where we're at. And we quit trying to grow. And basically the thought process isn't like one day or one thought. It's just over time. I just kind of get settled in where I'm at. And I'm okay where I'm at. But underneath it, there's a subtle voice of Satan speaking. And the voice of Satan, basically what it's saying is, you can't really be a saint. Being holy isn't really for you. That's for those really like upper people in the church. You're fine where you're at. And it's just this sense of just kind of laissez-faire, just sticking where I'm at. This is not the voice of God in your life. And I would say that this is the one that actually our church probably struggles with, those who attend church much more. Because either we're growing towards God or we're falling away from God. There's no middle. And so the Holy Spirit will always be convicting you to take another step, to go further. No, like continue towards God. Go deeper in your prayer. Go deeper in the Mass. Go back to confession. Take up a book and do some learning. Whatever it is, to be encouraging you to take another step. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit, all right? Not in the sense of not being good enough, but just in wanting to draw closer to God in my life. So be very attentive to those things. Okay. I'm walking towards God. That's like just sin or walking towards God, right? What about those of us who are doing that? How do you know when you are walking towards God if you're hearing the Holy Spirit or you're not hearing the Holy Spirit? St. Ignatius says, for this person now, you have to be aware of consolation and desolation in your life. What does he mean by that? Consolation. I said, the Holy Spirit is fire and peace, right? Basically, consolation is when I feel close to God in some way in my life. That he's there, he's stirring my heart. When I'm praying, I know his presence is there. I sense a sense of his love. The burning of God's fire within me with his love that is there. There's just a real peace that settles in my heart and my soul. There's a strengthening of faith that happens even if I'm going through something difficult. And even at times it could be tears, like I cry even in repentance, but because I want God and I'm sorry that I sinned. So it can be tears as well, but it can be consolation. When you are feeling, when these things are happening in your life, when we have that moment of consolation, Ignatius says, listen very carefully to the voice that you're hearing. Because at that time, God is speaking to you. That's the voice of God in you. When you have that thought come to your mind, when you're in consolation, and he can lead in different ways. Like, for instance, you're in your family and you're in a consolation and just this thought comes up of something I can do for my family. Follow that thought. That's a good thought that's coming from God in that time. Because you're in a space where you're hearing his voice speak. These are the times that someone's heart is stirred to say, God, I should maybe get involved in that Bible study a bit, right? Maybe I should respond to that job offer that's going on at the church. Maybe I would like to start this new thing. I have a real heart for the poor, and I just feel like I need to do something. Whatever it is, like so many good talents and things that you have in that space are stirred to be offered for God in some way in your life. Maybe I should reach out to that person at work, call that. This is God. Respond to that, and it will be fruitful. God will do something with it because it's the Holy Spirit acting in you. It's not just you making a decision. It's God leading you and guiding you. Sometimes he even asks us, we started something and he says, it's time to get out of that. But it's done with a sense of peace, of rightness, of God in this. And I know it's time for me to step aside and someone else to come. It's not a sense of, oh, I'm just like fed up and want to get out. But it's done from a place of consolation. Make sense? Desolation. What's that? That's when in any way I'm just feeling far from God. I want you to notice this doesn't mean like I'm having a good day or bad day. Sun's out and I feel good today. It's a rainy day, I just feel crappy. This is not what we're talking about, a sense of God. Like how are you feeling closer or far from God in your life, okay? Just a heaviness, a depression, feeling bad towards myself or towards others. A lot of confusion in life. I don't know where my life's going. I don't know where God's at, and I'm just confused in the midst of it. You're in desolation, all right? Which is okay. Every person experiences both. It's not necessarily your fault at all. It's just something that happens. We go up and down in our spiritual life. But to be aware that I'm in desolation is huge. Because in times of desolation, Ignatius says, you're hearing the voice of Satan speak, not the voice of God. And God's allowing it because he wants to test your faithfulness to him and his voice and to learn that these things are not his voice. But if we give in to those voices at that time, it can be very dangerous for us. In the time of desolation, I'm drawn to more earthly things, Ignatius says. Instead of being drawn to prayer to do this, I want to just go sit in front of the TV and watch or eat more or fall into that temptation. They're harder to resist at this time. That's not the voice of God. Say no to that voice and you're being faithful to God. In times of desolation, maybe we took up that prayer life saying, okay, Father, encourage us to pray to that Bible in a year thing that I was going to do, all these things, but then it just gets hard and I just kind of get down and prayer is really dry. And that's when I'm tempted to give it up, right? And so in desolation, I give it up. And I say, oh, I guess it's just not for me. God must not care enough about me. A tragedy happens to my family, and I think I kind of quit going to church. Because I think, well, God doesn't care about me. And you see how it makes us fall away from God when we give into those thoughts. And so St. Ignatius says, be very careful of those things. Because when we're falling into those, then actually the life, not only yourself, but the life in the church dies. The Holy Spirit is fire and he is peace. When we're listening to the Holy Spirit within us, what happens is we're like in a marriage with God. Where we're so united together as one that we're one mind, one heart, and one soul. The Holy Spirit is actually guiding what I do. And God has freedom to not just be here and praying and then leave God there and walk away. But the Holy Spirit is sent into us in order to act. That the church comes to life. Imagine. If every single one of us was listening to the Holy Spirit that carefully in our lives, So I want you really to practice this week, to believe that God is speaking to you, but so is Satan. And which voice are you hearing? And that when you respond to the voice of God, that the church will come alive, that he will lead us. We will, like the apostles in the first day, will thrive. People will come. The Holy Spirit will be active. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, Lord, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen.